This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's based in London. And we turn now to Joe's observation of inflation in the U.S. this long year. Joe started writing about this late winter of 2021. Since then, esteemed voices of central bankers repeatedly use the word temporary before inflation. The inflation is acknowledged, but it's part of the recovery, we're told. Most recently, I have this headline, Fed Chair Powell calls inflation frustrating, that's in quotes, and sees it running into next year. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell expects inflation to ease eventually, but assessing the current economic situation, the Fed chief said during a panel discussion hosted by the European Central Bank that he was frustrated that getting people vaccinated and arresting the spread of the COVID Delta variant, quote, remains the most important economic policy that we have. It's also frustrating, said the central banker, to see the bottlenecks and supply chain problems not getting better. In fact, at the margins, apparently getting a little bit worse. We see that continuing into next year, probably, and holding up inflation longer than we had thought. Joe, I need an interpretation of this, because though it's reasonably presented in English, holding up inflation longer than we had thought, is that the same old temporary inflation? How do you hear that?
Well, it's sort of like a stage of permanent temporariness, I guess, or maybe temporary permanence is what they're getting at. I mean, so what I find so vexing about that kind of statement, which is something that we're not just hearing from Jerome Powell, you're hearing it from a lot of monetary authorities around the world, is did you notice that the one institution he does not blame for any of these price developments is the Fed? It's always sort of supply chain bottlenecks or the Delta variant or those foolish people not getting vaccinated or, and you know, there's this laundry list of things that ignores the most obvious candidate for what could explain the kind of price trends we're seeing right now, which would be government policy on the currency, monetary policy. And sure enough, I mean, most of what he's describing should not really be causing this sort of problem. I mean, would we be having these conversations about supply chain bottlenecks if policymakers had not responded to what was really a supply crisis during the downturn by goosing demand? So, of course, there's a supply chain crisis when it turns out that the supply chains can't meet all of this demand that the government is stoking, you know, through monetary policy and fiscal policy. So, you know, he's not off the hook for that. And, you know, it's the same thing with issues like why are we blaming the Delta variant when by most accounts that crisis seems to be cresting and starting to pass and has definitely not been a major issue here in Europe where there also are inflationary pressures. So, I mean, eventually, you know, perhaps monetary officials will realize that they have something to do with the inflation. The question is how long is this temporary inflation going to set in before they catch on?
Mr. Powell has made remarks about advancing in some fashion his calendar dates for tightening or whatever they're calling tightening, tapering, not buying as many bonds per month as we did last month. He has moved that calendar somewhat, I believe, into the end of 2022, early 2023. Why is that important, Joe? How does that influence decisions being made now, or does it?
It's not important and it doesn't influence decisions right now, which is, again, sort of part of this odd, you know, phenomenon where it's like we've all lost track of what we're really talking about here. So their policy for quote unquote tightening is to taper these bond purchases. Every month, the Fed has been buying $80 billion worth of treasury bonds and $40 billion worth of mortgage-backed securities. And they are proposing to scale back on those purchases, so they will still be buying treasuries and mortgage-backed securities every month. They'll just be buying fewer of them. And that is not tightening. That is just slightly less easing each month. I mean, tightening would be if they stopped the purchases and then started selling back into the market some of the things that they have accumulated on their balance sheet. There's no talk about doing that. Tightening would be raising interest rates. They don't seem to be in a hurry to do that until they have wound down some of these purchases of the bonds. So, I mean, really what he's saying is that he's going to keep his foot on the gas pedal. He might be pressing it a little less hard, but I mean, you know, when you're driving, the car still goes forward whenever your foot's on the gas.
Supply chain. The chairman of the Federal Reserve mentioned in supply chain as one of the imponderables that contributes to temporary inflation. The supply chain here in the U.S. right now, Joe, doesn't include gasoline. To my knowledge, I don't drive, but I do not see headlines saying there are shortages or long lines. However, it does include the container ships off of the coast of California, off of the coast of the Gulf, off of the coast of the East Coast, trying to deliver goods for Christmas. I'm told that already prices have started to climb for Christmas because of anticipated shortages and because wages are going up in some fashion to staff the stores to sell Christmas. Supply chain inflation, is that a real thing, Joe, or is that a phenomenon of the virus, of the vaccine, of the recovery? Because what I understand is those container ships connect with China, and we've already been through the problems that are not easily solved there. Blackouts, not importing enough Australian coal or banning Australian coal that you need for your electric-fired generating electricity plants, and also the COVID-19 still making inroads into Chinese delivery systems from East Asia. So is that all describing something that will go away at some date certain in the future, or is that the new normal, Joe?
The short answer is sort of, to all of this. So, I mean, what's sort of interesting about the supply chain situation is that, yes, I mean, you can point to specific factors that are causing some of these shortages or some of these bottlenecks along global supply chains. And it can be related to things like container capacity. It can be related to things like the fact that some economies might be under lockdown and others aren't, and at different times. So you have all of those factors, but we are at a point now in the cycle where you have to ask yourself, so all of that will have driven prices up a bit earlier on because, you know, the market was sending a price signal about the lack of availability of a lot of these items because of these supply chain problems. Why has the market not responded to that price signal? Why is it that we keep bidding the prices up instead of people saying, well, no, actually, if the price is this high right now, I'm going to wait to consume whatever it is I was going to buy before and wait until the prices come down again. I think that the answer to that is that governments, whether it's through fiscal policy, all of the grants and spending that they've done as a result of the pandemic, or whether it's through monetary policy and all of the money they've released into the economy, are stoking aggregate demand. And that is the thing that is enabling people to continue bidding up these prices. And there's some evidence now that bid up in prices, that inflation is sort of entrenching itself. So, I mean, the supply chain explains why it happened in the first place, but it's really the policy that explains why it is becoming so durable.
Congress these last days is in this point in turmoil because of the president's agenda, the Biden agenda, not passing in the Senate or the House in a fashion that was designed. There's too much here to explain other than the fact that it didn't happen. There are two bills. One is the infrastructure bill. The other is the Biden agenda. It's got another name, but the Biden agenda. A lot of social spending. I want to concentrate on the infrastructure bill because that has support from both parties. We're told that it's already been passed in the Senate, and therefore in the House of Representatives, it's a straightforward pass. If the president wants it, he'll get it. He has the majority in the House. Except in conversation with Michael Boskin of the Hoover Institution, who testified to the Transportation Committee in the Senate recently, Michael identified that transportation bill, which is a big number, trillions. Michael identified it as a good thing, except, and here's the puzzle, Joe. He mentioned high-speed rail in California. He said what we learned from 2008, 2009, the recovery that the Biden administration plunged into in order to rebuild the economy after the Great Recession, is that you can spend too much money unwisely, and it leads to perhaps a momentary increase in wages of union members, but it doesn't build projects worthwhile quickly, maybe not at all, and it does contribute to disruption in the marketplace, a.k.a. inflation. The high-speed rail in California is now called the mixed-speed rail. They're acknowledging that it won't be a bullet train anymore. It's just a great big project with lots of problems. Now, Joe, I mention this because there's a good example of what the Biden administration wants to achieve. In an inarguable fashion, both sides agree to it, but it doesn't sound like it's going in the right direction, Joe. They're going to contribute a large amount of money from that bill to California and to high-speed rail. So all of that money they're talking on Capitol Hill, is that inflationary, Joe? Is that just throwing money after problems and swelling the pile of cash that we haven't paid for?
Yes. So, I mean, if you want to spend that kind of money without stoking inflation, what you have to do is invest that money in ways that are going to boost productivity, so that you can match this increase in the aggregate demand in the economy that you've just created with a new increase in aggregate supply. And to get that additional supply, you have to increase productivity in the economy. Now, to say that is to start raising questions about whether the government is really smart enough to figure out how to do all of that. And, you know, the California Rail Project is a classic example of this, where you spend a lot of money, you push all of those wages out into the economy. That project is not going to do anything to generate an increase in the productive capacity of the economy that would allow you to match all of the excess demand that you've created that way. And now multiply that by the entirety of any infrastructure bill that ends up passing, plus any of the, big boost to demand that you would expect from any of the entitlement spending that's in the reconciliation bill that the Democrats in Congress are trying to get through. So, of course, it is inflationary. And I think that politicians on the left and commentators are starting to understand that they have a problem with this, because they will talk about the potential for these projects to boost productivity, especially infrastructure, where they claim that we need more roads and ports and railroads and everything in order to boost productivity in the economy. That is true, but the government would have to be able to build those quickly enough and in the right places to accomplish that. So I'm very worried about what this is all going to end up doing to inflation if it happens.
So the temporary inflation, Mr. Powell, is that different from the inflation that would proceed from these spending bills on Capitol Hill that do not lead to productivity? Are those different kinds of inflation?
No, I mean, I think that it's all part of the same ball of wax, because the underlying phenomenon is always that you have stoked demand in the economy without doing anything to incentivize or encourage more supply.
Okay.
And so, you know, that's what it is, whatever form that takes.
We're going to London next, because Joe's done some research for us about the shelves of London, especially in the grocery stores. This is life in London right now, with the Prime Minister exercised considerably about the challenge to his government over the long lines, over the shortages, over the lack of truck drivers, over Brexit in general. When we come back, this is Joseph Sternberg, editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, Political Economics. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.